most people in the valley know you as the transit guy. Basically, could you kind of give our viewers an update on what your proposal is for the valley in transit?
110 years ago, actually, we had an electric commuter rail system in the Fraser Valley connecting Chilliwack to Vancouver. And it was electric, it was clean, it had no pollution, and it worked very, very well. It wasn't fast, of course, but it worked. And we abandoned that in the 1950s because, of course, we built a freeway and we all fell in love with cars and we fell in love with houses on quarter acre lots. And we've seen the entire valley develop in that direction for the last 60 or 70 years now. What we did do, and this was the one smart thing we did, was we retained the province. That means the voters, you and I, the citizens of BC, retained the rights to the corridor of that train track that still exists, that connects Chilliwack to Abbotsford, to Langley, to Surrey, and then all the way to SkyTrain Station at Scott Road. We still own the rights to run passenger trains on those tracks at no cost, just the cost of the rolling stock and stations. We could rebuild a commuter rail system from Chilliwack all the way to Vancouver and connecting with SkyTrain for about 1/10 the cost of SkyTrain's proposals to just run a few kilometers to Langley. It would serve 1.2 to 1.3 million people. It would connect university campuses all the way along its route. It would connect downtown cores. This is something that the old train did. We are now trying to rebuild our downtown cores, and we've realized that sprawl is not a good idea. And so now if you look at all the communities along the route of this rail system, the downtown cores are being revitalized. Chilliwack, Abbotsford, Langley, on and on it goes. And so these hubs are now perfectly aligned to be served by a rail system that already exists. For those of us that have been promoting this idea for the last 12 years, it's a no-brainer. Why aren't we pursuing this? Even if it didn't work as an experiment, it would cost us almost nothing. You buy rolling stock, you put up some platforms, you run a train, see what happens. Who knows? It might work. And if it doesn't, you sell the rolling stock and try something else. But instead, we're talking about growing the freeway. We're talking about continuing 20th century technology and 20th century planning strategies, but we're already 20 years into the 21st century, and none of them really make any sense. Growing freeways doesn't work. We know that. It just creates what's called induced demand. In other words, you widen a freeway, people will put more cars on it. People will drive more. It's inevitable. If you provide an alternative form of transportation, some people will use that. We just don't understand why the municipalities along the route are not supporting this idea of a rail system. If we had an electric or as we've been proposing, a hydrogen train system installed, it would help BC meet its climate change targets easily just by taking cars off the road and replacing a transportation system with something clean and green. It would help people commute who really can't afford cars and need car insurance anymore. The cost of driving is getting more and more and more expensive. It would eliminate the need for widening the freeway. You would take a little pressure off the freeway. That, combined with the new technologies that are making it less likely for cars to crash on the freeway, would save us billions of dollars.
You just said that municipal governments are not buying into this plan. You've been at it for some years now. Mm-hmm. Have you had any dents in government thinking?
Oh, absolutely. We've had support from many different organizations that realize how valuable this would be. The Business Council of BC definitely supports this. We've got transportation experts who recognize that community rail and light rail are the future. The challenge we face is that it's not a sexy enough project. It's not a project that would make a lot of money for anybody. It wouldn't cost much money, but it also wouldn't earn very much. So it's not attractive to the big lobbyists who want to build highways and bridges. Once a city is fixated on freeway development, they see a rail system as competition to their goals. They don't want to support it, even though they know it's a good idea. What we have to do is try to encourage big picture thinking and long-term thinking as opposed to short-term. And it's difficult. BC is now, just this year, we've increased the deficit by $13 billion. You can't tell me that there's going to be money out there to build a very expensive freeway additions for the next decade or two. And we can't wait that long. We absolutely can't.
Thank you so much, John. I don't think that I have any other questions for you. You answered all of mine. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about or that we haven't covered in this conversation that you wanted to bring up today?
I think, well, particularly young people, young adults, are well aware of the climate crisis that we're entering and that the consequences of that crisis will affect them and it won't affect me. And I fear that most of the policymakers and political leaders don't recognize that. I think it's essential that we start speaking very loudly and very clearly on behalf of our environment and our social well-being in terms of how we impact the environment. Transportation is a good example, of course, a great example. But I just worry that we're really not paying enough attention to the climate crisis. Of course, this year of COVID hasn't helped. But I'm very hopeful that in the year to come, as we come out of this COVID year, and hopefully, I don't say back to normal because that was absolutely unsustainable. I hope that many of us are willing to start speaking out more clearly and more forcefully on behalf of the big global picture, and we can do it locally.
Okay, well, thank you so much. It was great to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
All right, you too.